Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from Venezia 74, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Steven Nomura Schibel, and you're presenting your film Ryuichi Sakamoto Koda, and we have Mr. Sakamoto here as well. It's a great honor to have you here on Fred, I must say. But let's start off with the film itself, and if you could just tell our listeners a little bit about it and just introduce it to them, it would be great.
Yes, well, it's a documentary. It's a music documentary, first and foremost. It's about Maestro Sakamoto. And it's about his life journeys and his music and the evolution of his music, with a particular focus on, I think, how his perception and awareness of the world began to change in the mid-90s and beyond, and how his expression and his art began to shift subtly but surely and beautifully, even in a melancholic way, after Fukushima and the disaster back home.
So take us through the production. How long did the shooting last, and how did it evolve?
We began in 2012, in the summer of 2012, and we always wanted to follow Maestro Sakamoto until he started to make new original music. And so that, we learned, was going to be about 3 years ahead. And I said, well, you know, let's do it. Let's go for it. Because to tie everything together, we wanted to kind of end musically. And that was why we always had the title Koda in mind, because we wanted a musical landing. We wanted to land with new expression. Because somehow I felt if we hang around long enough, around someone as talented as Mr. Sakamoto, some kind of magic might happen, as it typically does.
Yes.
And however, you know, the three-year process became derailed when, in the summer of 2014, right as we were scheduled to start filming Mr. Sakamoto working on his new compositions, he unfortunately learned that he had cancer of the throat. So that kind of completely derailed our plans, and we had to feel our way through the process with him, and it was a very delicate situation, as I'm sure you can imagine. And that eventually led to our revised schedule, which is we completed the film barely in time, but we somehow did, for Venice 2017. Yeah. So it's been a five-year journey altogether.
Very good. It's amazing. And what was your reaction to you know, being approached to make this movie?
Well, first of all, I liked his personality.
Yes.
When he speaks English, he looks like a normal Westerner, but when he speaks Japanese, he's incredibly formal and gentle and modest, much more than regular Japanese people. So it looks like he has two personalities. And so I got interested in his personality. And also, I happened to see his previous documentary, which is about Eric Clapton. I thought it was very, very well done. So I trusted his ability.
Yeah. Well, Maestro Sakamoto, I've been a fan of yours for a very long time. My introduction to your works came from movies. Yeah. I understand that you're also a cinephile. So I just wondered what your personal relationship to movies is, and how it affected your musical work.
As a musician, I always envy soundtracks in films, generally. I wanted to make my own music. It would sound like a soundtrack for a film. And I think finally I made it on my latest album, Async, which I released this year, finally.
Right.
Yeah.
And I also love the way that you search for sounds in your home, but also in the furthest places on Earth imaginable. Africa, you know, the poles.
Yeah, Greenland.
And I mean, I love that, absolutely. I mean, where does that desire to search for these sounds come from?
Somehow I always want to hear unknown sound. Not only sound, but I always want to meet unknown people, to eat unknown taste. You know, I'm full of curiosity.
Yeah.
So I always want to be surprised by something new.
Right.
So there are a lot of places I've never been to on this earth, very tiny earth, but there are a lot of places I've never been. So I would love to go anywhere I can hear unknown sounds.
Yeah.
But unknown sounds could be everywhere, like on a regular streets of Paris. You know, you can hear something unknown just by chance. So you need to open your ears totally, you know, 24 hours, even when you sleep.
Exactly. There's always a risk that we ignore the simplest things that are actually quite beautiful.
Yes, exactly.
And so I guess in your filmmaking, you too kind of use that approach while filming.
Yes, totally. I think, it's been a great learning experience being able to follow Mr. Sakamoto and his process. And one of the things I became aware of very early is that to him, all sound is musical. And there's, in many ways, a lack of boundary, or there's intentionally kind of the destruction of boundaries between the thinking of like music being composed of notes as we know them and having musical keys and things and so forth, and just sounds in the outside world, right? So we chose to treat everything in our soundtrack as phrases of music, for example. I think our process of making the film was one of just diving in and being lost, so to speak. I mean, you know, we started with a certain intention. We called the film Coda because we always wanted to kind of wait for magic to happen, to have a musical ending, so to speak, right? A purely musical moment. But as we were doing it, and as we followed Mr. Sakamoto's process, I think we realized that his journey and process itself is very sound-based. So we cut our film based on the sounds that he had collected, based on the sounds we had collected. Everything is like a phrase in a 102-minute musical piece to us. So rhythm was very important in our cutting process. And so it was almost like we got to mimic Mr. Sakamoto's work by editing our film, which was beautiful and fun.
Absolutely. I think you did an excellent job. So I think we only have time for one more question, and I wanted to give this time to talking about something that you surely are very interested in. And for a while now, you've been an activist, and you've been a member of the anti-nuclear movement. And I'd just like you to tell me about it. Tell me about your why you're interested in this, and why it's important.
Well, simply, I think human beings cannot coexist with nuclear plants and the nuclear weapons anymore.
Yes.
I mean, unfortunately, our country, Japan, had two bombs, you know, in 70-some years ago, but we shouldn't, the human beings should use it again. And basically, the nuclear weapons and nuclear plants are based on the same technology. We have to leave it forever with such a, how can I say, unfinished technology. Because, you know, there's no place we can waste the used fuel. It's like an apartment without a toilet.
Sure, yeah.
We don't have a toilet for nuclear waste. So we cannot use it on this planet.
Well, that's a really down-to-earth explanation of why that is. I mean, I've never heard it in that sense, but it actually makes perfect sense. But so how can music or art in general help us get that message across?
If I was a singer-songwriter kind of a musician, you know, I would write lyrics, messages, you know, within my songs, and I would sing it. But unfortunately, I'm a very bad singer and always out of tune. But I put my messages inside my music, of course, you know, within the sounds and the melodies, and maybe some listeners can pick up my feeling, my messages, you know, through the sounds.
Well, that's all the time that we have, but it was such a great pleasure to have you here on Fred Film Radio. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.